Sellers, his left hook shot, made it, end of the line.
Bad pass, kept away, and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score!
Jones. Watford for the win.
Yes! Yes!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
What's going on, Hoosier fans? Welcome back to another edition of Podcast on the Brink. Matt Dollinger here. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Greg Rosenstein. What's going on today, Greg?
Not too much. How's everything with you?
Doing well. I'm excited for today's show. We've got a great guest today. John Gassaway of ESPN Insiders joining us to talk about the Hoosiers and the Big Ten as a whole. John, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. We really enjoy your work, and you know, we've seen you've wrote extensively about the Hoosiers this season. I guess those are the types of things that happen when you're ranked in the top 10. But you go back covering the Hoosiers a while. You've kind of had your eye on them for a while over the years, haven't you? You're a Big Ten guy.
I'm a Big Ten guy. I got my start blogging about the Big Ten, and I did that for three seasons. Made the jump to Basketball Prospectus, and then another jump to ESPN, but the Big Ten has been consistently good all throughout, and I get to write about them, so it's a lot of fun for me.
That's a pretty good deal.
Ever since I started working at ESPN, his stories have gotten way more hits. I don't know if that's just for whatever reason. I'm just helping his job out a lot, I think, right now.
And you're so humble about it too. That's impressive.
Well, hey, you know, John also has one more talent outside of basketball that I noticed last week. He came to lunch with us in Bristol, and he downed pizza, deep dish pizza, like anything I've ever seen before. Okay, this is an Illinois guy, just dominating it. Okay, it's on par of his basketball reporting skills.
You've got to eat with a purpose. I'm not there to socialize.
I like that kind of tunnel vision. I can appreciate that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, John, you know, we'd love to get your thoughts on the Hoosiers, first of all. You know, I read a piece that you did earlier this year kind of talking about who is IU's MVP so far, and that's a debate we kind of got into a last show we did. But you ultimately said Cody Zeller, you think, is the MVP of the team about a month ago. Is that still your opinion now?
First of all, what a nice debate to have. You know, I don't think Nebraska or Penn State sitting around right now going, who's our MVP? It's a debate born of luxury, and it's a great discussion to have. But, you know, when you judge Zeller against, say, you know, Oladipo, if you look at them in real time, you just come away tremendously impressed. If you look at them on paper, you go, whoa. Look at what these guys are doing. So it's just a tremendous problem to have. You know, I gave the nod to Zeller because I think that Oladipo flourishes in the context that Zeller sets more than vice versa. But I mean, these are great players, and we haven't even gotten started on some other pretty good guys on the roster as well. So these are good times to be Hoosier fans, definitely.
Now, John, when you look at this roster, I mean, obviously Zeller is kind of the guy that everyone thought, you know, would carry this team when you're going into this year. Oladipo, though, he's kind of outdoing everyone's expectations a little bit. Still, people thought he would kind of be close to this level. Is there anyone else that's kind of standing out to you as in why Indiana is the top 10 team at this point?
Well, it does start with those guys. I mean, obviously, you know, there's nothing wrong with making half your threes, as Jordan Halls is doing. And I've had occasion to go out of my way on at least two occasions and say, you know, hey, wait a minute, there's this freshman point guard for a team that might win the national championship, and that's kind of a big deal. You know, usually freshman point guards make you nervous, but you know, just because Yogi Ferrell never shoots, that doesn't mean he's not, you know, working within the constraints given to him, kind of a Kendall Marshall kind of role, for lack of a better term. And he's, you know, he's doing fine. He's not spectacular, but he's doing what's asked of him as a freshman on this incredibly loaded team with all this talent. And we haven't even gotten to Sheedy or Watford yet. So it's just an abundance of riches for Indiana. It's great.
Yeah, it's a little interesting how Kareen has used Yogi this year, kind of what you touched on, really just pass first and pass second. You know, he was coming off his most recent game. I think he was 6 of 7 from the field for a season high 15 points. So maybe, you know, as you've alluded to, he's got to start shooting because teams are daring him to. But, you know, I think he's finding his role in the offense a little more. Do you see him ultimately as more of a complete point guard eventually? Or do you really, you know, see him as just a really good pass first point guard and kind of a floor general?
Well, you know, the interesting question is whether, I mean, just to stretch this metaphor further, you know, was seeing Kendall Marshall last season or seeing him at North Carolina, will he be the, you know, Colin Kaepernick of never shoot point guards? You know, will people say, ooh, I want one of those, you know, those are really cool to have, and it'll become the new status symbol to have a never shoot point guard. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud because ordinarily, yeah, exactly. You'd be right. You pay your dues as a freshman. I'll go way, way back to listeners who are old school. But when Drew Neitzel first got to Michigan State, he was a never shoot point guard. And by the time he left, he never met a shot he didn't like. So, you know, that evolution is part of the normal course of events. And you definitely expect to see that with Farrell. Yeah.
You know, heading into this year, one big thing about Indiana was that they had depth. And, you know, you were thinking, oh, this team could go 8-9 deep, you know, with this freshman class coming in and everyone they had on this team coming back from last year. And I kind of compared them earlier to Duke, saying I think that they would have been Duke head-to-head because they had such a deeper bench than Duke, which only went, you know, 5-6 deep. But you look at this team now. And the past few games, they really haven't gotten any production from the bench. You know, Will Sheehy struggled last night. He kind of came through a decent amount. Remy Abel has still done almost nothing at this point in terms of offensive production. Do you think if Crean only went, say, 6 deep, 7 deep, they could still contend for a national title?
I do. That kind of rotation worked for Kentucky last year. We've seen teams with short rotations get to the Final Four. Any Ohio State team that you care to name usually has a short rotation. And I thought the same thing about Indiana coming into the season. I thought, wow, look at all these bodies that Crean will have. But whether it's by choice or by necessity or both, he's settled on a rotation where you've got 6 players, in effect, getting quality minutes, you know, more than 20 minutes a game. And it's working great. I mean, with those 6 players doing it as well as they are, Indiana's at the top of the polls for the Big Ten title and a national title. So I think, you know, barring injury about all teams, you can say that even about the deep teams, you still say barring injury about their best players. So I don't think that should be a particular issue for Indiana going forward. They've looked good so far.
How would you say the Hoosiers have kind of met the preseason expectations? Obviously, you know, a ton of pressure comes with being the preseason number one. And, you know, we've seen a couple of number ones go down this season, Hoosiers included. Are they still kind of on the same pedestal that people had them before the season? Or have they maybe been knocked down a rung suffering 2 losses?
Yeah. Relatively speaking, I think you can make a case that they've been the most reliable of the preseason favorites. The 2 games they lost were both extremely close games. You know, Bo Ryan has some kind of hypnotic power over Indiana. And if the rest of the Big Ten were Bo Ryan, you know, you'd have a problem. But fortunately for you guys, it's just this one coach who just I don't know what his secret is, but he does it. And that was
the very Soulja Boy dance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was a very close game, and you know, Butler obviously was overtime. That was a very close game. So it's not on the magnitude of goodness knows what we saw happen to Duke at Miami, and you know, Louisville losing to a team the caliber of Villanova, for example. I mean, those are different kinds of losses. So, you know, much was expected of Indiana. I would say that conversely, a team like Michigan is probably overachieved based on what the expectations were in the preseason. But Indiana has been right at where the expectations have been. And I think they've largely come through on the preseason hype.
Now, as we get kind of deeper into the Big Ten season, just looking at this team, obviously they're in good shape right now, but this probably is the best conference in America. What do you see them needing to kind of improve on the most to kind of make it out of the Big Ten and kind of go deep in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I've been I've been very surprised in a good way by their defense to date, and I've had occasion to comment on that already a couple times. But, you know, thus far in Big Ten play, I know it's early, but the defense has been great. I mean, they're allowing well under a point per possession, and I thought that was, if there was going to be an Achilles heel show up on this national title contender, I was going to look for it on the defensive side of the ball. That has been the dog that has not barked. You know, the fact that they've been a little more ordinary than one might expect, particularly in shooting from inside the arc in Big Ten play. Am I worried about that? No, because you know, you've got Cody Zeller and you've got Oladipo. What's he at? He's like at 70%. I think that will probably work itself out with those two guys. So I think that Indiana's in good shape. The only thing I would point out is, you know, just the Hoosiers have been getting an incredible number of free throw attempts, and that's fantastic, but that's not the kind of thing that happens, you know, game after game after game. Obviously, there will be games where that well does run dry for whatever reason, whether it's because you get in a slowdown game with somebody or what have you. So that's not a crutch that can continue to be leaned on all the time. But other than that, I think all signs are definitely positive for IU.
And for a team that gets, you know, to the line so often and is such a good shooting team, they actually have struggled from the line of late. Against Penn State the other night, 21-37, just, you know, over 50%. So, you know, obviously that's a concern. Another thing that, you know, stood out to everybody from that game was what Penn State did to Cody Zeller. You know, he's a little bit of a passive star in the fact that he doesn't demand the ball and, you know, he can do other things besides score, but to have no baskets, you know, really stood out and just 2 points overall. What do you think about, you know, the strategy of just trying to shut down Cody Zeller and let everyone else beat you? Obviously, it didn't work for Penn State, but could you see that being a strategy that works for other teams?
No, that's a strategy born that's a strategy born of desperation by a Penn State team. You would never look at Indiana. I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong, Cody Zeller is the star. He's the National Player of the Year candidate. Don't get me wrong. But what you do when you say, okay, we're going to run a box and one, or we're just going to deny the ball to somebody, you're doing that on a team where the star is head and shoulders better than the people around him. And when you've got somebody like Oladipo, when you've got somebody like Hulse, who's making 50, 51% of his threes, I mean, I'm not saying these guys are going to have, you know, long NBA careers like Cody Zeller. I'm saying they're very good college players right now, and they'll be happy to say, okay, you know, I'll make a three, or I'll make a two, and they're perfectly capable of doing it. So that's, I don't think that's going to be a standard strategy you'll see. Certainly teams will do their level best to play Zeller tough, but it's not a case where they'll say, if we take him away, then Indiana will be flummoxed and won't know what to do. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it reminded me of when, you know, I remember that game when Steph Curry was playing at Davidson, and I don't remember which team it was, but they just, you know, put two guys on him the whole game, and Davidson still beat them by 30. But, you know, they held Steph Curry to only a few points that game.
Right, exactly. Or maybe yeah. Isaiah at Murray State.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who else would, like, a team do that against? I mean, like, Doug McDermott, even Creighton has other pieces that are valuable enough to needing to guard the whole time. I don't know. Just looking at this weekend, Indiana faces a pretty big matchup against Michigan State. You know, you also, not only is this a very good team, but Crean has a, I don't know if rivalry is the word, but, you know, he always wants to beat his mentor, Izzo. I guess when you're looking at Michigan State, could you kind of give us just a breakdown of what you see out of the Spartans and how Indiana would fare against them?
The Spartans have been on a roll. They've won a lot of close games. I think their last five games have been decided by 10 points or less, and they're 5-0. They are an excellent defensive team. I thought they would be coming into the year, and they are. They've mastered their turnover issues at last, but they're just not shooting the ball very well. So I would look for a that should be a fantastic game, and I'll particularly enjoy watching a very good Michigan State offense, Michigan State defense, excuse me, take on the IU offense. That's the matchup I'll be looking forward to the most.
Yeah, you know, there was a discussion that kind of broke out on the Inside the Hall comments section the other night about what IU should do with Jordan Hulls against Michigan State, because there really isn't anyone for him to guard, especially if Yogi Ferrell's on the court at the same time. Do you think, you know, that's something where Hulls should play less minutes against Michigan State, or does it create a mismatch on both sides so it makes him worth playing, you think?
Yeah, I think that Tom Crean would vote for the latter. I think that he would try, and famous last words, you know, maybe he'll bench him. But I think that he would take the approach, well, we'll meet this challenge by trying to outscore Michigan State. And we've got a better offense than they do, so we can probably do that. But it's a legitimate concern and something to watch. I'm just not certain that the Spartans will be able to take advantage of that matchup to such an extent that it'll be decisive in this particular game.
Yeah, I think the most interesting matchup is just down low, because you have obviously Cody Zeller, and Michigan State has two kind of towers, Derek Nix and Adrian Payne. So the question is, you know, you can maybe body up on one of those guys like Nix. And plus, both those guys are just bulky, huge guys, unlike Zeller, who's more tall. So who are you going to have defending them? That's why I think maybe Honor is going to, who actually showed a glimpse of what he could be in the last game against Penn State. I thought he had a pretty good game. I think he could be maybe kind of an X factor in this one. John, do you agree with that, or is there anyone else that kind of stands out to you?
No, I agree. I'm going to be watching the paint. It's going to be a blast to watch, because they get after it in Michigan State. And, you know, there's Zeller. I mean, he's going to be the best player on the court, but he's all alone, and everybody's read the scouting. Well, not all alone, but I mean, he's going to be ganged up, put it that way. And everybody's read the scouting report and seen a lot of tape. And Michigan State's got nothing to lose and no fear. So, you know, Zeller's got the talent, and Michigan State's going to be gunning for him. I couldn't agree more. That's going to be really fun to watch down in the paint.
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to that game. And it's a beginning of a really tough 5-game stretch for the Hoosiers. Really get into that meaty part of the conference schedule now. John, I just want to kind of get your thoughts on who you really think the Big Ten will come down to. Are there two or three teams that you think are kind of above the rest, you know, that will ultimately decide the conference? Or do you think this is really a deep race and it's too early to tell?
Well, you could argue that Michigan and Indiana are starting to look like the two teams that are going to separate. I know that certainly, that hasn't necessarily shown up in the standings. We're still in January, so there's a lot of basketball left to be played, and I don't want to discount Michigan State's only got one loss. You know, obviously Wisconsin's only got two, but just in terms of how they've done so far, not just in the Big Ten season, but overall, Michigan and Indiana do look like the two best teams overall to me, and I'm excited to see those two play each other. The thing about the Big Ten is there's a lot of games I'm excited about seeing. And when I say Michigan and Indiana are the two best teams, if you go to your third best team, whoever that is, if it's, you know, Wisconsin or Michigan State or Minnesota, whoever it is, that's a really good team. And I could see that team, you know, easily going to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. So this is the best conference in the country. And when I say that Indiana and Michigan look like the two best, that's high praise indeed for the Big Ten being as good as it is this year.
Now, as an Illinois guy, you don't see the Fighting Illini keeping with the momentum they had earlier in the year and keeping it going throughout the season?
Well, you know, the paradox of Illinois is they've never played as good as they actually are. They started the season by playing, you know, way better than they actually are, and we at Illinois are used to seeing that. They did that last year too. And I very wisely at ESPN said, well, you know, pretty soon they'll start playing just as good as they really are. Well, they went to the opposite extreme and they started playing like, you know, Prairie View A&M or whatever. And I'm like, no, this isn't right either. with no offense to my brother's alma mater, we should be able to win at home against Northwestern. I mean, come on. This
right.
Far the other team. So, you know, maybe, you know, winning by 20 at Nebraska, you know, bingo. That's about right. You know, if
if they had played that game like November, they would have won by 50. And if they would have played it a week ago, they probably would have lost by 10. So, I mean, I think that's about the level that they're supposed to be at. Heaven knows what we'll see on Sunday when they host Michigan. But all that any Illinois fan can ask of this particular grouping of personnel in this absolutely brutal year in the Big Ten is that this group of Illini simply be respectable and that they defend the home court well and steal a couple on the road. That's what would have been expected in the preseason.
Yeah, there's usually two or three games a week during the conference season that just leave you, you know, scratching your head. And it seems like Illinois had their more than their fair share of those games this season.
This season and last season, yeah, one of these seasons soon, they'll just be boring and win they're supposed to and lose the games they're supposed to, instead of winning at Gonzaga and losing at home to Northwestern. But don't get me wrong, I'll take that win at Gonzaga. That was pretty fun.
Well, John, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. We've loved talking to you about the Hoosiers and the Big Ten as a whole, and we really appreciate your insight and enjoy reading you at ESPN Insider. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate it. Thanks for me.
Hey, John, wait. John, you're going to Bloomington soon, right?
No, I was hoping to, but doesn't look like it's going to happen. Doesn't look like it's going to fall into place. Yeah. Restricted travel.
I was already
travel,
planning like a night out for you, going to Knicks and then sports and all these different things.
With all these new hires at ESPN Insider, there's a real restricted travel budget now. You know, I think they need to hire people.
God, yeah, you're probably right about that.
I kid. No, that's not a problem. No, next year for sure, but doesn't look like it'll happen this season. So rain check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Greg will owe you a beer. I'm sure he won't mind taking you out for that. He's usually up for that.
Me too. Sounds good.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Thanks for listening, everyone. Check back with Inside the Hall for another show next week. Until then, for Greg Rosenstein, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.